Where tonight we're in chapter 2, looking at loving family. There are a few copies of Disciplines of a Godly Family still available. If you'd like a copy, I encourage you to take one. And tonight we're in chapter 2. And it should be our desire that our families are filled with love and a loving atmosphere that would enable our children, our young people to grow and to flourish spiritually. And what we're going to think about and what the book covers in this chapter is foundations for family affections. And family affection, it's more than just a love that provides for the physical needs of our family. It's about displaying true love in our daily acts so that we really enjoy each other's company, that we live in a warm and wholesome atmosphere, that our homes are places where our children find one of the most enjoyable places to be, a place that is loving, that is safe, a place that indeed they love above anywhere else. Well, how does this happen? How can we have homes that are like that? And if we're honest, so often that is not the case. You've heard of the miracle of the church car park. I think I've shared it before. You're getting out for church in the morning, and you're just about to go, and somebody has their shoes aren't there, or somebody's left their bag, or something else, and you get into the car, you're running late, you just get grumpy, and things aren't so good, and then all of a sudden you come into the church car park, you knew you had to put on a front, and you all look so angelic and get out as if you're the most lovely families. But families aren't like that. We know that so often our tensions can run, and so often the atmosphere isn't what it should be. So how can we, as Christian families, know the love that indeed is real and causes our families to grow and to flourish? Well, the first thing is loving God, and we're thinking here about that passage we read in 1 John chapter 4. And what we're taught there is that God is the source of love. And verse 16 says, "So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." The nature, the character of God is love. And that's where all true love finds its source. God is love, and that love of God enters our lives as we abide in God, and God abides in us. We need to remember that love is unconditional. Look there at verse 19. We love because he first loved us. It's God who took the initiative when God saw the worst about us. For God so loved the world. And remember in John's writings, the world stands for that which is opposed to God. God loved that which was opposed to him, that he sent his son. An unconditional love. And it's really coming to grasp the nature of that unconditional love of God. A love which has no strings attached. A love which knows the worst about us and still pours his goodness into our heart. It's that love which really enables us to show love to others and show love in our families. Notice what it says there in verse 7, a very key verse. I often use this at weddings. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So two things about those who love. They've been born of God and they know God. They've been born of God. They've been born again. The Spirit of God has entered their souls. The nature of Christ has entered them. The nature of that Christ who is loving and kind, he has entered them. And that's how they can be loving, because they have been born of God. But then they know God. They've entered into a relationship with God. And as that relationship with God grows and develops, gets deeper and stronger, their love will indeed get deeper and stronger in their lives. And so if we want to be indeed parents, if we want to be children, if we want to be those who are loving in families, we need to be born of God and we need to know God. We need to be living in a vibrant relationship with God. It is a relationship with God that is real, warm, that is full of love, that will produce love within our homes. So loving God is the first thing. Second thing is loving marriage. I'm going to have a few quotes here from Kent and Barbara Hughes from the book. First of all, they say, "It is essential then if a family is to develop the bonds of affection that the children have the assurance of their parents' love for one another. And goes on and says, saying tender physical affection between parents enhances children's security and subtly encourages them to practice loving. Let me say to parents, if your children don't get embarrassed or don't give off about you showing affection, I don't think you're showing enough affection in your homes. You should be embarrassing them at times. You know what happens in our house, and the complaints come out. I love what Kent Hughes says in that chapter about love. He says to his children, I love you, but I want you to know I love your mother more. And one of the foundations for a family where love indeed is growing and flourishing is this love between parents. They need to see that love. They need to know that love. And parents, so often we can lose our temper. We can say harsh words. We need to pray for God's grace that would not be the case, that we would display before our children an example of love. That's the bedrock for a family of love. It's the love between the parents. They say, Kent Hughes says, affection isn't inspired by lectures, but rather by the daily modeling of simple acts of kindness between parents. How we love and how our love for our husband or wife grows, it's by following that description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Follow that description of love in the actions that we have, and then the feelings will follow. Remember what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient and kind, does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And we need to just show that patient love. We need to show that practical love. And as we determine, and this is a decision, as we determine to do that and to show a practical, unconditional love more and more to our spouses, then indeed our feelings will grow. And that love within the family will grow. I wonder that description, parents. Love is patient and kind and does not envy or boast, is not arrogant or rude, does not insist in his own way. Would your children describe you in that way? Is that the way our children will describe us? That's the goal. That's the goal. And we need to get on our knees and pray for the grace of God to be more real in our lives. The third thing in regards to the foundations for family affection is communication. We began our service this morning with that passage about being filled with the Spirit and speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And Barbara and Kent use that and say that the Holy Spirit produces right communication. Positive, truthful, and God-glorifying communication is dependent on the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our families. We need to have homes where the way we talk is constructive, the way we talk is tender and loving, the way we talk helps people to grow in Christ. And only the Holy Spirit is able to produce that in our lives. We must speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and 15 says, speak the truth in love. It literally says in the original, truthing in love. And by that it means both truth and love should be the hallmark of every aspect of our lives. Truth and love must run through every part of who we are. It's not enough to say, but it's the truth. Kent Hughes says, it's possible to speak the truth unseasonably at the wrong time. Just what you're saying, if it's the truth, that's not enough. It's not enough to say something that's truthful. You have to say something that is loving. We need to have good communication. We need to be those who share in a tender and a gracious manner, seeking to honor God the way we speak. Good communication needs an investment of time. We need to work at creating and taking advantage of opportunities for good communication. We'll come back to that in a moment or two. And the fourth foundation for family affections I've put down is the wider family. I want to say here to those maybe having children who are grandparents, aunts, and uncles, you can have an important part to play in a positive family atmosphere. I was an uncle a long time before I was a dad, and my sisters used to hate seeing me coming to. I used to wind up my nieces and nephews and get them real wind up and then leave them and go. But one of the things about being an uncle, which is different from being a dad, is you don't have a lot of responsibility as an uncle. And you can have, you're more relaxed to have fun with your nieces and nephews than sometimes you as a parent. It's the same with grandparents. And you know the old saying with grandparents, if a new grandchildren are going to be so much fun, I would have had them first. And you know that those who are grandparents, that indeed, one of the reasons why grandchildren are so much more fun is you don't have the pressures that you had when you were parents. And that's a great position to be in. And grandparents and aunts and uncles can have a great opportunity of promoting a loving and gracious atmosphere within the wider family. Barbara and Kent Hughes share a lovely story about a missionary family her way out. I think it was in Indonesia this family were. And they had a little boy, and he says that he kept saying, "I want to go next door. I want to go next door." And then they ask him, "Why do you want to go next door?" Ach, he says, "There are grandparents next door." He had heard there were grandparents. And he had such a relationship with his grandparents, he wanted to go anywhere where there were grandparents because they brought such an atmosphere into his life. So four foundations for family affections: loving God, loving marriage, communication, and the wider family. Now, as we think of this family affection, and there are two things we're going to look at now just to work this out and how this comes into practice. We're going to think, first of all, now of the dinner time routine. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but this is very important. I think for families, what we do at dinner time is absolutely crucial. It's one of the few times in the day when families can be together and it can be positive. The users say making mealtimes what it ought to be takes disciplined energy and thought. And so we have to think about this, how our mealtimes can indeed be something that is really productive. They go on and say families with tiny children should not have unrealistic expectations about mealtime, for it rarely will be idyllic. Mealtimes with young children are necessary times of training. And so it doesn't come easy. Having good meal times does not just come easy. It's something we need to think about. It's something we need to pray about. We need to avoid distractions at mealtimes. I said a couple of weeks ago, the TV, the radio, the tablets, the phones should not be on if we want to protect this. How do we then cultivate good times? How do we cultivate conversations at this meeting? Because it's this cultivating of conversations that will develop the love and the support that is needed in the family. Four things are shared about this. First of all, ask questions. Particularly thinking here about parents asking their children questions, but it goes the other way as well. Children can ask their parents questions. And one of the things they emphasize is ask open-ended questions. They've said if you ask a question in the evening, "How was school today?" you're probably going to get a one-word answer: "Fine." Then they said, well, don't ask that question, "How was school today?" Ask the question, "Well, tell me something about what was good at school today. Tell me something about school today that wasn't good." Asking those sort of questions and then can develop conversations that gives you an opportunity to share a wee bit and for them to share and for you to enter in what was good and what was not good. So ask the right questions. It doesn't just be things they got asked, maybe just going back over time and asking questions and things about previous things, previous times which are good or challenging. So ask questions, that's one thing. The second thing is to listen. Encourage family members not to interrupt while somebody else is speaking, not to talk over someone. Listening is not always easy. Listening can be hard work. And good eye contact is important in this. This is something that takes real effort. Really to listen, particularly maybe the story is going on and on and on and on. It's a bit of effort to listen. Listening is not easy. But one of the most loving things we can do for people is to listen to them. And so, listen. Thirdly, show interest. Not just ask a question about how things were going. Follow on from that. Just look for little things, little hooks that you can grab hold of, that you can show an interest in what's going on in their lives. One of the challenges of this is, mean we might have to take an interest in things really which are not naturally what interest us at all. And being a father of two girls, there are a lot of strange things I kind of get an interest in. I'm delighted that one is showing an interest in football now. We can talk about something sensible. But show an interest in what they're interested in. Encourage them to show an interest in each other. And see what the purpose is, that you're trying to create communication which is loving, that is supportive, communication that is helpful. And mealtimes are some of the best times for doing this. And the fourth thing is be positive. Parents need to set and encourage the right tone around the table and to quickly nip in the bud things which are not the right tone. You can't just turn on this positive tone. It must be consistent in our lives and in our families. We just can't turn it on at a mealtime if we're not positive other times. I think there's a real challenge for those of us parents, you know, and how we speak to each other. We've already talked about being affectionate, but there's maybe particular concerns, pressures of work which maybe are stressing you. Let me suggest, parents, the dinner table is maybe not the best place to be sharing all of those, particularly with younger kids. It's maybe good we have a wee habit after dinner. The kids like this because it means it gets us out of the way and they can watch TV. We go into the front room with a cup of tea or coffee and talk through our days and spend a wee bit of time doing that. One of the good things that it leaves the time around the table where we can indeed engage with each other and be positive in that. So, and try and, when others are putting your brother or sister down, encourage a positive atmosphere. We're trying to build a situation where we have families where the children find it's the most wonderful place to be. Yes, we'll pull the leg of each other. Yes, we will indeed make fun of each other. That's all part of it, and it's part of growing up as a family together. But it should be a place where children should be able to share anything, where children know that they are accepted, that they will not be rejected by what they share. And they know that when they share something at the dinner table, around the table there are voices of those who love them and care for them and want to help them. This doesn't just happen. And I'm not speaking here as someone who is this cracked by no means. One of the reasons I want to do this study is I know I have so many failings and our family has so many failings. It's about all is improving, so that our families will become more and more what God desires them to be. So the dinner time routine. You see, we're thinking to promote there just a love and a kindness and good communication. And then the third thing we're looking at is the blessing of family holidays. I just want to mention that. It's shared a fair wee bit in this chapter. One of the things they say, family play is important for building camaraderie. And you know, having good times together as a family, having fun together as a family is something very important. Now, we're going to be thinking over the coming weeks about spiritual exercise and study and prayer and things like that. But having fun is important. I remember when I was going into the ministry, there's a Methodist minister in Uri, and he says to me, "William, can I give you a wee bit of advice? Never lose your sense of humor." And you know, as a family, we should never lose our sense. A family that has good times together builds a real environment, indeed, where there's a sense of belonging. It endows the family with mutual experiences. Doing family time and doing things, and it's not just family holidays. It can be days out, maybe sleepovers, camping out, and things like that. Having these experiences together as a family, it's something that's tremendous. If you think of a situation where some people have gone to some event, let's say they've gone to a Northern Ireland match, and they've come home and they're so excited and they're babbling. Those who have been at it together, they're chatting about this, that, and someone who hasn't been is left out of it. Families doing things together just gives a sense of being one together. Barbara and Kent Hughes say this about holidays. They provide the only extended time in the year when kids have both parents to themselves 24 hours a day. This, along with the absence of professional pressures and distractions, allows the parents to give relaxed, undivided, unrushed attention to those who are the most important in their life. I agree with that wholeheartedly. For us as a family, the way sometimes holidays are described, holidays is when daddy doesn't have to go into the study, daddy doesn't have to go to the hospital, daddy doesn't have to go out to a meeting, and mummy doesn't have to go to the office. That's what holiday time is. Time when we're not distracted, time when the pressures of work are left behind, are shut away, and as a family we're enjoy each other's company and have important time together. One of the things that users say about this is lost opportunities cannot be recovered. When your kid is a certain age, say your kid is the age of 6, you have only that opportunity to have that kid at the age of 6. The next year they'll have moved on and they'll change and so forth. And year by year there are good opportunities and spending time and days out and whatever events and holidays together. That if we don't take time like this, if we don't take time for our families, then indeed our kids will have left before we know it. I love the North Coast. I love the White Rocks. I love Port Ballantrae. I love White Park Bay. I love the beach at Ballycastle. Do you know why I love all those places? That was our family holiday every year when I was at primary school age. It was the one week in the year where my father didn't have to look over his shoulder and my father was relaxed. And I have lovely memories of 9 o'clock at night and at the White Rocks in the sea, fooling about together as a family and that. That's a long time ago, but that sticks in me. That's part of my life as a part of the Moody family in which I grew up in. And having those times together just helps cement us as a family, help us be together as a family. We need to take time. There's always a temptation. There's always more work to do. There's always more work we can do about the house, more work can be done on the farm, more work can be done here, there, and yonder. There's all this more we can do at the neglect of our family. If we want our family to be a family where they know they're loved, and we need to give time for that. Time for holidays, time for days out, times for evenings out. And we can be flexible in this. I love what Barbara and Kent use. Sometimes they've had struggles because of the nature of Kent's work and they always come in call, days off can indeed go by the wayside. And they would, what would they do? Some days they go and pick the kids up from school and have everything ready and go on a hike together. Just spontaneous like that. Make the most of it. Make the most of having time. It doesn't have to be something big. I just think of last year during lockdown, it was some of that nice weather. I remember we were spend a night out in a tent. And one of the lovely memories was we had the fire pit lit and we were have toast. We did some toast on and things. They're just, don't cost the earth. But those times just stick together and our children will remember those times. Children will remember the times when mum and dad had time for them. Mum and dad had time for them and weren't under pressure. Mum and dad had time for them to relax and have fun together. Let me really encourage you in that. Yes, we're going to get on to things about more spiritual aspects, but I don't believe this is not spiritual. This taking time as a family for holiday, taking the time around the mealtime, that's important. We have to work at this in order to know God's blessing in our families. Let's pray together. Father, relationships are such an important part of our lives. We're thinking there with the young people, the boys and girls, about friendships in school. And Father, we pray for any of the boys and girls maybe are struggling with friendships in school. Maybe some have gone to secondary school and fathers, just maybe a bit of a challenge at this time. Help them to rely on you and pray in your mercy, Father, that you bring across their path good friends, friends who will be supportive and loyal to them. And Father, help our young people. Help our young people to be marked by those qualities of a good friend themselves. And help them, Father, to be those who are friendly and caring and loyal to others. Father, help them to know the power and the reality of Christ in their lives, that they would be a friend to others like Christ would be to us. Father, we pray for the relationships within our families, and Father, for husbands and wives, Father, for our relationships, and Father, we just pray that indeed that you'd help us, Father, to have patience and to show that love of God, that love of Christ in a very real way, Father, within our marriages. And Father, grant that in our homes, that family life will be something blessed by you. That Father, that our children will grow up and know that mom and dad have time for them. Mom and dad love them and care for them. And Father, for our meal times. Father, we know sometimes it's not be popular turning the TV off of that, but Father, help us just to learn to continue to develop just good communication around meals and other times together. Oh, Father, give all parents the grace that we need, Father, because we can't do this by ourselves. And above all, Father, may the love of God, the love of Christ, be more and more real in all of our hearts and lives. So, Father, as a church family, we would take an interest and care for each other more and more. Grant it, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.